Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honour, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honour, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you're invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honoured in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbours, in case they might invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
you, O God. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, our God and our Redeemer. Amen. Do sit down.
God speaking.
speaking to us. It is the kingdom of heaven where his banquet is given. Quite often we forget about kingdom values and how different they are from our own. We forget that Jesus' whole life is centered on inviting people into the presence of God. And usually he is going to those who are outcasts, those who are on the fringes of society. But we also are the people who neither expected nor deserve that invitation. But in turn, God expects us to invite others. He expects us to stop keeping this careful check of counting the costs, benefits, and rewards of what we do. He wants us to live from a sense of abundance and blessing, inviting those around us to share in the goodness of God. I'm going to embarrass Audrey at this point. I hope she doesn't mind. But last Sunday when we were having coffee, she said something that was actually very profound. And she said, there's too much guilt in Christianity. Do you remember?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. I'd actually been thinking about confession and the difference that it makes to some people's lives, to know that even the worst things that they've done can be forgiven by God. And I was really struck by what Audrey said. Because if we hear in church always the things that make us feel guilty, that emphasise only what we're doing wrong, then we've really only heard half of the message. Because for Christians, guilt should not be framing how we feel. It shouldn't drag us down. Because we have a God who can and does and has forgiven us, who longs for us to feel that forgiveness and his love for us, and to find a different way of living from that forgiveness. And that's where I think really that we put that reading, that gospel reading from today. I think it's holding on to that love and forgiveness and dropping the guilt. I think holding on to that love and forgiveness is probably more difficult today, because I think society has got a lot of things wrong, and that's one of the things we're going to be thinking about on St. Michael's Day. Jeff will be preaching to us and talking to us about the challenges that the world is facing that are no less real than the dragons that have been faced in the past. In fact, actually, they're a lot more real than the dragons that have been around. You know, I'm passionate about what we can gain from labyrinth walking, but there's a lot more to a labyrinth than just a nice path to follow as you pray. Like any spiritual tool, it has been developed to be used. One of the most important things when thinking about labyrinth spirituality is to recognize what a difference there is between mazes and labyrinths. A maze has many paths. It's designed to confuse and disorientate you. In business, maze thinking is what seems to win out. It leads to unhealthy competition, a lack of cooperation between people. And you can see that in our society today. People being set against each other by political beliefs or by a lack of respect. It's a really difficult time. And we need to recognize that maze thinking when it happens. It tends to be reflected in this sense of feeling that there is not enough. We need to hang on to something. There's not enough space in this country for everyone who wants to be here. Not enough money, not enough time, prestige, resources, energy. We sort of live thinking we're short of things, whereas actually that's not true. And it isn't the way that things are in God's kingdom. And that's the labyrinth way of thinking. In a labyrinth, there is one path that always leads to the center. There's no disorientation or fear that you're getting things wrong, just a path that everyone can follow at their own pace. And I wonder what difference it would make to our own peace of mind and the way we treated others if we could live in that reality of thinking, actually, there is enough for everyone and more than enough. What if we saw others not as competitors for scarce resources, but as partners, brothers and sisters commissioned by God to fairly distribute the riches of God's goodness and grace? Jim isn't here this morning. He's gone to join the worship in the cathedral that's celebrating the end of the diocesan climate change conference that's been held this weekend. It's been a sort of partnership between the University of Lincoln and the diocese. And there we heard how climate change is already having a devastating effect on the islands of Polynesia. We met people from the churches of those islands who are working to try and mitigate some of the effects on their communities. Much that we heard about was worrying and very concerning, but the enthusiasm and joy of the young Polynesian boys and girls was infectious. They reminded us that God's kingdom is more important, and that through God, all things are possible. There is a kingdom way of living, a different way, one that Jesus taught his followers, where we can all share together in what God has created. All that is necessary is to take up the invitation that God has given each one of us and to offer that invitation to those around us.